close to my fantasy. Don't be afraid to clutch the hand of your creator. Stare into the lion's eyes, and if you taste the candy, you'll get to the surprise. Oh, don't get too close to my fantasy. Don't be afraid to clutch the hand of your creator. Stare into the lion's eyes, and if you taste the candy, you'll get to the surprise.
All right. Hey, everybody. it's Thursday, and this here is one of those radio shows that we do on Thursdays.
It's actually Thursday today.
Stressful day, man. You know, we always end up doing these huge things in June, right? Like Ascension was in June, and NS13 was in June, and Hobopolis was in June, and this year we're getting started a little early. I don't think there's going to be any gigantic, massive thing done in the middle of June like there tends to be, but the goal for today, just as a teaser for those of you that are listening to the radio, is to get the next Clan Dungeon into testing on dev, with the theoretical goal being to roll it out in the next couple of days to the public. That was one of my goals for this trip, was to get this dungeon done, and I'm really going to feel like a big stupid dummy if I don't do it. But stacking up against...
No pressure.
Yeah, I know, no pressure at all. Stacking up against the giganto-mega content full familiar of the month for June. God. Which, I don't know what the fuck it is about us, man. Like, so... We always tend to get a whole bunch
of... It's coming along, though. It's nearly done.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
We just need stats and final rewards on stuff.
Yep, and I'm not letting Hot Stuff work on anything other than this dungeon until it's into testing, at least, because I'm seriously going to be pissed off at myself if I don't get this rolled out and playable by people before I leave New York, and it's just really down to the wire. I did such a good job, I felt like, for a while. I got my part of the June item of the month done super early, not realizing that all that was going to do was make it so, like, my part is just entirely dwarfed by either yours or Scully's part.
Well, that's thematically appropriate if your bit is smaller.
It is, yeah. No, that's the thing. There's not that much going on just with the world in general during my part of it. But yeah, anyway...
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. No,
I hope it's fun. That's my one fear, is that at this point, it seems so gargantuan that I'm like, is this even going to be fun to, like, a casual player?
That's the thing. Like, the part that I made, I think everybody's going to be able to tell immediately who did which part, because it's like, oh, let's see, this third of it has obnoxiously complicated puzzles. This third of it, every adventure is like a novel. This third of it seems really half-ass. anyway. Right. I'm Jick, and with me, as always, are Hot Stuff and Riff.
Hello.
Hi.
So our first-time listeners, long-time players are going to have a hard time understanding what the hell's going on.
Yep. I don't know how many of those there are.
I don't either. I just like the first time foo, long, you know, last yeah. time, long time.
Foo, long whatever. Time, long time foo, first time bar.
Yeah.
So you guys been playing any video games?
I've been playing some Plants vs. Zombies, and Steph's got his Zen garden sitting up here on the screen, so we're watching the little snail wander around in coins for him.
I've almost gotten my 10th plant slot.
Nice.
I haven't wanted to mess with just buying or leaving the Zen garden thing running for forever, because it didn't seem like it was worth it. I walked away from it for like a half hour and I'd made like $5,000 or something, but like I only ever think of it when I'm on the computer.
$10,000 with a full garden, I think, or 10 or 20,000 an hour.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. If you got a full garden and your snail, you fed your snail some chocolate.
Are you fucking with the clock, or how'd you get a full garden?
I haven't gotten a full garden yet, but
okay. Yeah, I mean, for a long time, at the end, when I was getting antsy to... You guys, listeners, you gotta fucking play Plants vs. Zombies. It's great. If you haven't played it, it is just kind of a perfect game.
It's got a different set of, like, appeal to all kinds of different play types.
Yeah.
So...
That's weird, though. Cool. I don't know. You know, my wife saw it and was like, that looks cool. Wait a minute. This is a goddamn tower defense game.
I said tower defense, and you were like, no, it's not.
I don't think it's a tower defense game. It's
very similar to a tower defense game.
Well,
it's like a lane tower defense game as opposed to a path tower defense game.
Okay, but yeah, sure. I mean, I guess if any game where you are... I would say it's definitely a defense game, and I guess, you know,
yeah,
they're towers. It's a plant defense game. It's a defense game. I mean, is Missile Command a tower defense game?
No.
No, but you don't build the things that shoot.
Yeah, you are actively shooting. Right, like, because Defend Your Castle, the one where you're...
Yeah, where you're throwing the guys up into the air.
Yeah, so, like, you build wizards or whatever that fight for you, or archers or whatever, but you also have to...
So that is a tower defense game that is also a defense game?
Yeah, like a missile defense game. I don't know what you'd call that. Active defense?
Yeah. I mean, Plants vs. Zombies is kind of like that, too, because there are the instantaneous things that you can do. You know, there are the things that are not... You don't really... Although, I guess you do plant them, technically. Like, you have to have a spot for
them, right,
in order for that to work. I'm curious to see what you end up doing on Endless, like, that survival mode or whatever, because it gets really, really fucking hard, like, kind of quickly at, like, the 20th wave or so.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. They just start sending a whole bunch of those Gargantars at you.
Yeah, but if you build the corn cob cannon thing.
Yeah, if you could get, like, 8 of them or 10 of them, which is sort of tricky... you know, because you're having to balance. It's a neat. I don't know. You know, I think my one complaint about the game is that it could stand to be a little harder. Like, adventure mode was not particularly challenging.
Well, but on the other hand, if what you mainly like about it is the mini games and stuff, of which you have to beat adventure mode before you can play them all.
Yeah. Okay, that is actually another complaint that I had. I wish more of the mini games had unlocked prior to beating adventure mode. It seems like they were kind of trying to balance it, like they were trying to stop you from getting too much money because you could make adventure mode even easier, you know, with some of the power ups and stuff. But some of the mini games were pretty hard. Two or three of them, you know, there were two or three that I had to, like, look online to see what other people were doing to get through them.
The bobsled one was relatively tricky, but I had seen Microshampoo finish that one, and then
ended up being pretty trivial once you sort of figure out that whole the thing where you just fill the entire swimming pool with those star fruits.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, you can beat it like that trivially, like nothing but flowers on land, nothing but sunflowers on land, and nothing but stars in the pool, and it's just. Because they just fire straight up and down, and, like, you, you might have to build, like, walls in front of the stars for the occasional snorkel zombies or whatever, or use those weeds to take care of them one at a time, whatever. Anyway, good game. Good game. It appeals to that whole 100% collector instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Gotta get all the, you got the gold trophy yet, Riff?
I haven't beaten adventure mode yet.
Ah.
So you haven't even gotten the silver trophy?
Nope.
Wow. You're such a noob.
I try not to play it for huge hours at a time.
It's really easy to lose a lot of time
playing. I play it for a while, and then I see a new zombie come up on the street, and I'm like, oh my god, what is that guy gonna do? I'm going to go do something else for a while first.
When I was playing through it, I would tend to get bored after a couple of levels of Adventure Mode and then just walk away from it for a few hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was entertaining for like a couple of weeks before I got the gold trophy. Playing anything else?
No.
Not really.
I'm trying periodically to play through Gemcraft Chapter 0, but it's just fucking infuriating.
It's super, super long. Why do you find it infuriating?
The difficulty curve is just, like, I would say that 8 out of 10 maps at this point, I lose. And that's just so unsatisfying.
Have you killed your first Arcane Guardian yet?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, so there's... The game is super long, and each map you have to play through, like, at least 8 times or something. Because there's all those different modes. What you're probably not doing is leveling up enough.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I remember from the original Gemcraft, it's like, okay, so, you know, you get powerful, you go into an old level, and then you just, you know, let every monster in at once, and then just kill them all with big gem bombs or whatever. But, yeah. Like, I just can't do any better on any of the existing levels, and I can't beat any of the levels that I haven't beaten yet. Like, I don't know what the solution is, but it's...
Have you gotten, That's interesting. That's weird. Yeah, I mean, maybe you're just not picking the right power-ups, then.
12 or so. The right power-ups.
The right level. I mean, you know, the skills or whatever.
Sure. What do you recommend starting out?
Well, it varies a lot depending on the level, is the thing. Like, I am almost always just changing all of my skills around on a per-level basis.
I see. Yeah, that isn't fun.
Well, I don't know. You end up using a lot different ones based on... what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the part of the problem is that I'm only, like... I've only gotten up to, like, level 12 or whatever, so there are very few skills even available.
Oh, yeah. I feel like... There is definitely a point at which it is very hard to get past it, but then it's like a... You get over that hill, and then it opens up a bunch of stuff that you can then do, like... Every time you get... right before, like, a new playstyle unlocks... it's hard, and then you get to go through and play through a bunch of old levels and on a different in a different style and
right. Yeah, and then you suddenly get a bunch of experience. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm at that point now, and it's just, you know, the only solution is for me to play through old levels and level up, but like it's barely advantageous to do so.
Huh.
Like, I don't know. I kind of hate the fact that if you lose the level, you just get nothing. Like, that's super...
It's a lot of time investment for zero. And
almost always what happens is that nothing gets through until the very last wave, which just rapes me to death. And so, I'm like, oh, there was that 10 minutes wasted. Yeah.
Huh.
I don't think I'm going to get it. I don't think I'm going to keep playing it, because it's just... Man, it was like that fucking balloon... That game with all the balloons...
Balloon Tower Defense?
No, the one with like the Zeppelins. The
Oh yeah, yeah. Like that was, I think that was the first game that had the like that I remember had that sort of unlocking.
Yeah, the scrolling map with all the different levels on it, and like that was so long. And I remember seeing it in the beginning, and like, Jesus Christ, this is gonna take for fucking ever. And then sure enough, it took for fucking ever, because I played through the entire goddamn thing. And like, the first Gemcraft wasn't all that rewarding. I wish I hadn't played that so that I could play this one. It's like, I just
enjoy it.
I don't want to sink the time into this one because I don't feel like it's going to be worth it, right? Like, you know, there
it
are
starts
enough
off
new
with a lot of story, and then the story's just gone for huge chunks of time. I feel like if they had more plot and better writing, I feel like that would sort of keep you maybe interested a little bit more or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I've been playing some Moxie on the iPhone.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
I'm pretty consistently able to get in the high scores for the last 24 hours.
Do you try to get a lot of Moxie words?
I don't tend to, because I feel like it is so unlikely that you can pull those off on purpose that
the times that I've made the high score list for the day are the times that I, like, specifically set out to make, like, I find a set of Moxie words and I, like, write them down and then, like, see how to chain them, and then as soon as I can get one of them, then I'll work up or down the chain depending on what falls out.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see, I could see that being a good strategy. Just playing normally on, like, the, not on the animal mode, on the default mode, the high scores are all super high, because that's just, there are so many more people playing it on that mode. It's not even obvious that you can switch modes, right? Like, it's not at all clear that there are three game types in the game.
Did you ever play Drop 7?
I don't like Drop 7 very much.
Really?
Yeah, it's, I it just kind of breaks my brain.
Okay.
I just can't, I can't be good at that game.
Huh.
And that's a game that I kind of wish that it was harder, because it's boring until it's impossible. Sort of the take that I have on that, you know?
That's weird. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but you like Sudoku.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the same at all.
It is, though. It's exactly the same as Sudoku.
It is a grid, and there are numbers in it. That's true. That is true.
It's from Japan, probably. When does your buddy's
Taxi Ball's out?
I know, but when does the I didn't really like Taxi Ball. When does the one that I care about come out?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him in like a week. I've been too busy to. We keep trying to set up a conference call, and it just fails. As soon as you're back in town, I think it'll be...
Yeah, as soon as I'm back in town and we leave on a two-week camping trip and then leave town again for a month right after that. It's almost like I live in Phoenix.
But we'll be in the same place. That's the difference.
That's true. So we could actually conference call... We could be like those high school girls on the subway, and we could conference call. Like, what we do is... You wear one of the headphones, and I wear the other headphone, and we both talk into the microphone. We don't even have to use two phones to conference call at that point, because we're BFFs.
Girls on the what? What is this?
You never see, like, I constantly see high school girls, like, all over the place, like, sharing a set of headphones from an iPod.
Really?
It's always just, like, pairs of, like, 15 or 16-year-old girls.
I've never seen a high school girl doing anything but texting in the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's all they do. They're constantly texting.
Right. Texting is the new breathing for high school.
Yeah. But seriously, I don't think I have seen a high school girl do anything but text in a couple years.
Well, I mean, it is imperative that that their BFF know they are lolling. The thing is, they never are. I've never once seen a high school girl lol.
They're
maybe
too busy.
I've been funnier in high school. Where? Let's see. Ah, there you go. I was trying to make you guys bigger.
How'd that work out?
No, it worked out just fine.
I'm still the same size.
Feel any different?
Well. So, anything is anything interesting going on? Like. I don't know. Administratively, is there any big news for the company? Are we doing anything? Nothing. We don't really have anything interesting going on for Comic-Con. Ah, fuck. We got to get the Choose Your Own Adventure going.
Yeah. God.
You guys have all of June to finish the content.
That's true. That's true. And it really won't be a big deal.
We sent in some forms, and the badge database is open to us now. That's Ooh. Exciting. Woo!
Yay! We get badges. Is the place that we're staying this year closer or further away?
Slightly closer.
Oh, right, because it's at Padres Park, right? So it's like...
Yeah, Scully and Jezzerfly are the closest, and then the big place is sort of... But maybe probably 1.5 to 2 times as far as that, and then the other place is the same, you know, 2 right. and a half times.
This is getting bigger and bigger and... bigger and frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I from a business standpoint, I'm tempted to just say, you know, we probably shouldn't be doing this anymore. But that said, I mean, maybe...
You know, we could just go to San Diego and not attend Comic-Con, and I think that would be okay.
Well, I mean, then we're just, you know, like, we've gone from a vacation attached to a promotional opportunity to just a vacation.
Sure. Well, but we work the whole month. It's not like we're not working.
We do. I feel like we get a lot of work done.
How about we just move the company to San Diego?
No, because then we wouldn't get any work done. Then it would be like when we were at home.
Oh, do we not get any work done?
I feel like I seriously feel like a sort of more austere environment makes us get more work done.
Wow, we could move to Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
And not even take any tents or buildings or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just making an igloo.
We would be so productive. OMG.
Because we'd be working to try and keep warm.
Must type faster. Must type faster.
I've never
seen weird dreams, man.
You go snow crazy. You're not even typing on a computer. You're just typing on a penguin.
Yeah, that is messed up.
You've been having weird dreams where I had a dream a while back about being like riding in a car with Obama.
Really?
I did, yeah. And it was weird when I saw your thing on Twitter today. I was like, huh, that's weird.
Why is Obama showing up in our dreams? That's what I don't understand. Like, I have never dreamt about a president before, and he's been like in the past two nights. And he's like, in the dream last night, he mentioned casually that like he hasn't. What is it? He said he hadn't fallen into any brain cancer related comas in the past week, which was good. So it was a good week. But he's like, you know, this cancer started so quickly after the radiation or whatever, it's got to be bone cancer. It's not just brain cancer. And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know.
Had you listened to the Adam Carolla podcast about the guy getting brain cancer?
I had actually, so that might be playing into it, I guess. Who is Representative Richard Martin?
Some fake is like a character that some comedian plays that was like a regular on the old Adam Carolla radio show. That was not funny at all. I stopped listening to that one about halfway through because it was just obnoxious.
It's weird. It's like, it's kind of just a series of jokes that
when I listen to that podcast, I don't want it to be some formulated, you know, hour long piece of entertainment, right? Like I just want it to be people talking. I hadn't looked at a lot of the old podcasts that I listened to when I first got the iPhone. I hadn't paid attention to for a while, so I've been listening to like or Retronauts and like the 1UP guys, like it's been some good stuff.
Like actual old podcasts or old?
No, just when IGN collapsed, they sort of disappeared for a while, and I stopped paying attention then because there just would be, you know, I would check every few days and there was never a new one. But like I gave up for like a couple months, and so then there's been a couple months worth of stuff to listen to. That Overthinking It podcast is really interesting too.
You don't have it. See, I just have all my podcasts downloaded manually and then listen to them in chronological order, so I don't ever think about which podcasts.
The thing is, I download them all straight to my phone because I can't sync my phone with this laptop.
Right.
Because goddamn motherfucking piece of shit, ass fuck, cunt gobbler iTunes.
You could just have a laptop as your primary computer, like me, and then you could sync it with your computer wherever you go.
But I don't want to do that. I don't want this laptop to be my primary computer, right?
Alright.
I mean, I don't want to have to, you know, I sometimes, hot stuff, I sometimes work when I'm at home, right?
Right.
So I don't want to have to carry my laptop.
Have your laptop with you.
But I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to carry a laptop from the office to my house and back every single day.
I leave my laptop at the office, and I only sync my phone when I'm at the office.
Sure.
So.
I like to take advantage of the sort of magical superpowers that this phone has, where if I'm sitting in a park and I want to check and see if there's a new podcast to listen to, I can get it. I can download it straight to my phone. And then, when I get home and plug my phone into my computer, iTunes will fucking delete it for me.
That's convenient, because clearly he didn't want that, because he would have really wanted it, you would have done it while you were at home.
What the fuck is this? His phone's gone rogue. I'm imagining the little situation room inside the compound in like
iTunes.
Their belligerent ass AI that they've built into it.
They call it genius.
I've been fine. I had a dream though. Oh man, I had a dream that I somehow fucked up and bricked my phone, and I had to install iTunes on my laptop and get my phone working again by factory resetting it, and just lost everything that I had on the phone.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh crap, you know, so all of my text message history from the whole time that I've been in New York, like,
that sucks.
But it didn't happen. It was just a dream. Don't worry. It was just a dream.
The pretentious artist's nephew has jailbroken his iPhone, or as he liked to refer to it, freed his iPhone. And it was pretty cool. Like, he can still buy apps from the App Store, plus there's a sort of a jailbroken App Store out there now. And, like, yeah, they're just a bunch of, like, cosmetics things that make it much friendlier. And it's frustrating. The ability to run an app in the background would be so nice, and is something that you can do on a jailbroken iPhone that you can't
do. It's coming in 3.0, right?
No, it isn't. Not really. Push notification is. I thought so too, but it's not. It's not real. It's not a real background.
I didn't think that because you told me. I thought that because I read it on the big list of the feature set for the 3.0 software.
I've not read it recently. I was all excited because I thought it was, but I don't think so. If it does become part of 3.0, that'd be awesome. Like, I would love to be able to have approved set of, you know, two or three apps that I might want to run in the background, and then actually let them run in the background.
Letting like that GPS tracker run in the background would make it actually useful, right? Like, I don't particularly want to buy that app. Even it'd be handy to be able to, you know, like I like having the, like, you know, I just sort of like turning my life into a video game, right? Like, getting the GPS in my car was awesome because now the real world has a mini map.
Right.
And having the route tracker on the phone be like, all right, I can go on a bike ride, and then I can, at the end of the level, I can get a bunch of statistics about my performance, like, you know, and that.
I was using my iPhone on like an 8-mile hike that I took this past weekend, and it was really disappointing because the GPS is just so bad that, like, it loses contact all the time. And so there'll be just like a bunch of segments that it's not actually tracking you, and it's just drawing a straight line between. And then either the GPS was misreporting my location or the software was screwed up. And so there was one point in the hike where it bounced me around in this, like, to points just like, you know, a good quarter mile away from where I was, or a half mile away from where I was, and then to another point. So, like, I because of that, I lost the actual utility of, like, how far have I walked.
Right. Are you sure? Are you sure that you weren't just like walking through some sort of like desert tesseract, or like
did those
jags correspond with times when you ate some of the little ate some of the little fungus growing on the side of that cactus?
No,
because maybe you did just go in a straight line to those points and then back to the trail, right? Like, did you notice like your feet being all skinned up? Were you, like, really, like, a lot more sunburned than you expected to be? Was there like, a naked Indian in front of you?
or a talking wolf or something?
Yeah.
None of these things happen.
Spirit guide. We had reasonably developed, like, one of the items of the month. We were going to do that whole desert vision quest with the spirit animal thing.
That turned into the llama.
Yeah, it eventually turned into the llama. Yeah, and I think it was like you had proposed a structure that was kind of similar to what we ended up doing, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And then Scully proposed it, but in a way that sounded really cool and made more sense than the way that you had done it. And I was like, that is a great idea. And then you were all like butthurt because I didn't like the idea when you had it, but I liked it when you had it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You work with these like sensitive homo types, and you're always hurting their feelings.
If they were homo types, though, if they were butt hurt, they would enjoy that, right?
I don't think that being homosexual means that you enjoy pain.
Okay.
Let's.
Are you sure about that? I'm not so sure. I think that it might mean that you enjoy pain.
No, I think that's when you're a masochist.
Isn't that when you chew stuff?
Yes. You want to read questions? You want to read questions?
Sure.
Okay. Harrican says, why is expert panhandling's bonus so small, 10% meat drops, compared to mad looting skills, plus 20% items? Well, it's class differentiation, right? Like, the rogue types are going to get more stuff. And the panhandling was more for the sake of that pun.
It also has another use though. It's not just.
Does it? But it used to.
Yeah,
but
does it? Yeah, I feel like it used to do something entirely different.
Yeah.
I thought it was the meat drops plus like extra damage when having saucepans or something.
I think that's what it used to do.
I think it used to give you added. It used to give you a bonus with saucepans, but then we changed it to meat drops.
Oh, I thought we just added the meat drops in addition. I don't remember.
Linguini Lad says, why is the ballast turtle untradeable? I really wanted one. Well, ascend as a turtle tamer if you really want one. So the idea is, we eventually give each class a way of getting some breathing underwater stuff. And so if you really want to spend a lot of time underwater, you can ascend through a bunch of different classes, collect all of the different things in whatever quantity you want. And then, you know, so you do like 5 days worth of Seal Clubber Ascension, 5 days worth of Turtle Tamer Ascension, and then you've got 5 days worth of 40 turns each from the Seal Lung and the Ballast Turtle, right? You do a whole cycle of Ascensions, and then you basically have, like, days and days and days where you can breathe underwater for free. That's the ultimate goal with that. That's why they're untradeable. You know, I know it's jarring to people when we make items untradeable, but it's really like one of our most powerful tools for actually making meaningful play, right? Like rewarding you
otherwise,
for doing something.
Just so much stuff. Yeah.
Making it so you can't just buy your way into the experience, right? And like, yeah, you know, there
it's
are probably
weird,
people who
it's
would
a
argue
weird thing because it's.
Go ahead.
Because the game is so single player in general that like we have, it's almost like this multiplayer element is tacked on, but it causes so many headaches for us in terms of making what is sort of a single player game.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, probably there are people who would argue like, why do we care if somebody wants to just buy their way through all the content? And I mean, you know, maybe that's a good point. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we're just stomping our feet and being pretentious, art fags. But no, I mean,
well, okay. We made almost everything in the underwater zone tradable, and I feel like that was a major disincentive for people to go down there, because they're like, I'll just get in the mall later.
It was an incentive for some people to go down. I mean, you know, there are still people making millions of meat a day farming the sea,
which
is kind of cool, right? Like, you know, I am all about situations that we manage to create where you can make a lot more meat
where there's some
doing
arbitrage.
Something clever than you can just mafiaing all your turns in the castle, right? Like, you know, that's cool. That's cool.
We're about to create some arbitrage situations.
Oh my god!
Oh yes, we
it's
are.
It's the most ridiculous idea. So great though.
Yeah.
So you know, those of you who are excited about the new clan dungeon because you love Hobopolis and you want another Hobopolis, you're not going to get another Hobopolis. This is a lot more limited than that in scope, but still pretty cool. Still pretty cool. It didn't take us nearly as long as Hobopolis did.
It's true.
So yeah, I think what we should do is in June we're gonna gonna land and just really not have anything pressing to work on, which is gonna be a nice change of pace from the last couple of weeks, but. We start working on underwater stuff.
Yeah.
I want to try to give us a goal for... Well, you know, this is stupid. What I was going to say is, I want to try to give us a sort of large-scale content goal for the end of September. Because we respond really well to the June and December deadlines, right? The problem with September is...
Split the difference.
Well, not split the difference, just try and get us to get more work done, right?
Well, right, but I'm saying put a deadline in the middle of
this. Put it in the middle, yeah. So, you know, like, basically, we could have had something for the end of March, right? I really... You know, the sort of traveling that we do and the, like, post-Crimbo burnout, it's...
Right.
Every year, it eats up more and more of the year, and it's really frustrating, right? Like, I feel like January and most of February of this year were just a wash.
I don't even remember what happened in February.
I don't either.
Maybe we just didn't have a February this year.
Yeah, we skipped it.
It was a leap year. That was the problem. We skipped February.
Right.
Yeah, that's how that works, right?
Right. I feel like we worked. Like, I don't see any major things that we did.
Yeah. That's
January was a mess, but.
Yeah. I feel bad because I feel like we've become, like, you know, just another cautionary Twitter tale, right? Got all these people paying attention. We don't ever post anything anymore. But that's the thing. Like, all of the just miscellaneous non-work stuff that we post is, like, interesting stuff that we're doing being in the same place at the same time. Like, I don't have any interesting stories to tell because I've just been in this city, like, by myself for so long, and it's like, I don't want everything to turn into, like, oh, this is what I had for lunch today, you know?
There are some cool things that you are doing that you're not Twittering about, and I don't know if it's because you don't want to talk about them, but there are things, like, you had a meeting recently with someone who's doing some work for us that people would like to know about if you wanted to tell them, right?
Yeah, okay. I guess that's true. I mean, I guess that's the thing. All of the work that we've been doing is on stuff that I don't really want to talk about with people.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's more of the problem than anything else. A lot of the work that we've been doing is, like, on projects that we don't really want to announce until we're really ready to announce them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, I felt like there was more stuff to Twitter about when I was hanging out with Frontalot a lot than he left town. Right. And I didn't know any other rappers to hang out with.
Do you know MC Lars? Or is he in town?
I don't know where he lives. I think maybe he lives here, but I don't really know him.
Like, biblically?
You know, I should have gotten in touch with Schaefer the Dark Lord, because that guy was awesome. And seemed like the kind of guy that if I was just like, hey, let's go get drunk, he would be like, okay.
You had a lot of invitations to go upstate in New York,
yeah,
but you didn't.
I didn't end up
follow through.
I don't know, man. Like a couple of the things that I was planning on doing sort of fell through, and so then I just sort of got discouraged. And I'm kind of sad to leave here, and I'm kind of looking forward to getting home.
You should have Twittered a review of every bar that you went to, because I think. Having to pare it down to 140 characters and trying to say something interesting about each different bar would be kind of neat, especially on the nights that when you went to multiple bars.
Yeah,
because, like, there was the bar that we were already really drunk when we got there with the red fish.
But see, that's the thing. That was an interesting night where we did a bunch of stuff. Could have written some stuff. Could have done some interesting Twitter. But you guys were in town, right? I don't have nights like that by myself. It's all like talk to some middle-aged dude about, you know, last night I went to a bar and I ended up talking to some old man about trains for like an hour. Drank some beer and talked about trains. Had a fucking delicious hamburger. Anybody in Greenwich Village who wants a delicious hamburger and some beer and potentially a conversation with an old man about trains should go to the Finelli Cafe. On Prince Street.
But you, like, didn't you, you went to a cigar bar and then took people to Burp Castle and stuff like that? That was, like, an interesting evening that you had?
Yeah, I guess so. Talked to a super drunk guy, one of the guys that owned the cigar bar, and then just some kind of typical New York guy. Just this sort of barrel-chested, thick accent, and just played pool. drank, talked about drinking. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I for the last month, I've basically gone to the same three places whenever I've gone out, and it's like, oh, went back to Velvet sure. Cigar Lounge. It's still awesome.
Well, okay, then you could also view your responsibility to entertain your Twitter public as a challenge to
sure.
yeah. do something interesting at least once every two or three days.
Should also, what I could do is I could just come back to New York and not be by myself the entire time. It would be an entirely different experience, and it would be a lot easier to describe it to our entertainment consuming public in an entertaining sure. way. Yeah. You know what else our public enjoys sometimes is when we answer questions.
Is when we answer questions.
Yeah.
Snave wrote, funny flavor text for visiting the armory / leggery with a mannequin leg equipped. That mannequin leg was the best. Oh, man. Hippie Dude says, when is CDM going to make a tab chat like his Grease Monkey script? A lot of people ask for that. A lot of people expected that to be one of the first things he did when he actually started working for us in an official capacity, but... There are some things about it, that, and this is I think I've given this answer before. There are some things about his tap chat that I don't particularly like, that I don't find particularly satisfying. And there are some things where it's a case where we would need to make some decisions about how it worked by default, and I'm not sure that it would be possible to do those in a way that really satisfied the majority of people. I love it, use it all the time. It's just that there are some hurdles to dealing with it that I don't necessarily want to like. Inflict on everyone. Like, it works really well as a voluntary thing as it stands now. But, you know, maybe we'll have some insight.
And there is always the, you know, have this as another advanced account option that you can turn on.
Yeah, that's so what we need is more account options.
Soon we're going to have an account option to turn on other account options.
Yeah. Let's see. Making a note to you. This grandson of Radio To Do is getting unwieldy. I look at it and then I just immediately close it.
Do people know what that is?
It's the list on which I abbreviate everything ANUS. Terrible says, if we put a number into a cast box larger than the per day cast, like Dry Noodles or Scrumptious Reagent Summoning, can it be reset to max casts instead? Yeah, it probably should. Severus says, the Grass Elemental drops things now? I love you all. And then Tellus R says, the Grass Elemental in the Menagerie level 2 should drop herbs, man. I don't know. I like it that the herbs come from the hippies, man. Severus says, can the disturbing fanfic at least give temporary blindness and hurt us? Ooh, or can you make it a sleaze spellbook like you had discussed in previous radio shows? You know, it would literally take 10 seconds to just make that sleaze spellbook.
Why don't you do it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like we were waiting to come up with the entire set.
But I thought we did, right? We added all those low-level ones to the Spooky Raven library as that one-time-only adventure for Postomancers.
Right.
And then, but I mean, I was going to add some like organic cookbook as a high-level stench one from the hippies.
Right.
And, yeah. That could be like a drop during the war, actually. Because
those guys don't have enough drops.
They don't have enough drops. Yeah, the fanfic comes from level 10, so it'd be weird to put it would be weird for the hippies, just the normal hippie camp hippies, to have a drop that was in the same tier as the castle.
Yeah. Right.
Let's see. Cricket says, as a sorcerer with spells tuned to hot, you can level your Bandersnatch all the way to 20 in a few combats at the Friars while gaining MP. Is this intended or is a nerf imminent? No, that's a valid thing to do. I don't think that it's like really worth it in an Ascension context.
I mean, it's pretty potent, right? Because I mean, getting a 20-pound familiar on day one. Just a natural 20-pound familiar on day one is pretty significant.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a trick that you can only do as a sorcerer, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Dr. Keir says, Sergic, great knight of Arizona, master of the great kingdom, I beseech thee, cover me in thy inexplicable goo, lest my skin turn to naught but ash. Okay. I promise to cover you in inexplicable goo at some point within the next, like, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, that's weird.
Bungie says, "Hey guys, I was listening to one of the shows from late 2004 today, and I heard you guys discussing the idea of seal clubbers turning items into items that gave bonuses, like the leather crafting ability to make armor kits in World of Warcraft. Whatever became of that idea, it became Pulverize."
And then the original idea turned into the sticker tent.
that's the initial conception, which was, I was in New York when I conceived of that the first time.
Spring fully formed from your forehead?
I was not at a Roman temple. I was at an Egyptian temple when I had.
I see.
it walked up to me with like a pig's head instead of its human head, and hit me with a shepherd's crook. That's how the idea came into being. That was where. So I just had this thing. I'm like, all right, okay. So here's what we got to do. We got to give weapons handedness, right? And that also determines how many stickers you can put on the weapon. And then seal clubbers will get a skill that smash things into stickers. And there'll be different kinds of stickers depending on what kind of stuff you're smashing into them. But it didn't really make a whole lot of sense narratively because, seal clubbers and cute stickers and all that. And also, the way that we were dealing with actually putting the kind of enchantments on the weapons was really janky and kind of continues to be really janky, even in the case of the sticker tome. At least it kind of makes sense in the case of the sticker tome because they can only go on one weapon, and you guys don't see how janky it is on our end, right? To you, it's just a thing that you put some stickers on, right? But
it's not janky because it's a one-of-a-kind thing, but yeah. To extend that to multiple items, or God forbid, all possible items, would just be a nightmare.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's what happened. Arby Dash says, have you ever tried chili beer from Cave Creek, Arizona? It's a pretty cool little place down there. A fun trip. I don't think that I've ever been to Cave Creek, and I don't think I've ever had that Cave Creek chili beer. Doesn't seem like I would like it.
Chili beer as in, tastes like a pot of chili, or hot chilies?
Like peppers, like chili peppers. Chili peppers. They taste like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah. Like, it tastes like a sock covered in nutsack sweat.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I went, ugh.
In California. Mr. Jiffy says, please make Wang's right-click usable from the chat pane or usable from a chat command. Please! Did we ever... Oh, you can't hear me, huh? What about now? Still?
Yeah, no, you're good.
God damn it.
What were you saying? The video's getting really choppy. I don't know if it's...
Oh, yeah?
Could affect our audio quality or not.
Intertron problems.
We could record the video stream too and then do a video podcast, because this is really interesting just watching us sit here.
It is, yeah. No, we're talking about stuff. We should do a video podcast. Oh man, once we get a camera, we should do a show. We could set up a desk and have a map of the world behind us, and when we're answering questions, we could run IP checks on that. We could start recording the IPs of people as they're sending questions to Radio Bugbear, and then
light up on the world map.
They light up on the world map, and then we do a Dr. Spazio thing where it reads the question, and it figures out what the voice of the person should sound like based on where they are. Right?
That's cool. It should be the map from Dave Gorman's Google Whack Adventures, though, because that makes much more sense.
I don't remember that map.
It's basically the English-speaking parts of the world are giant, and then everything else is tiny.
I see.
Or non-existent.
Because I have a feeling that is what it would end up looking like.
It made a lot more sense to use that map just so that there was distinction between, the 50 U.S. states and then Britain and Australia and stuff. Yeah. So.
Let's see. Man Egg says, any plans to add any ultra rares? Maybe in the sea? We don't currently have any plans to add any more ultra rares.
Yeah.
Mitchell says, the turtle familiar is a sign of upcoming class-specific familiars, or just a one-shot deal? Really just a one-shot deal, although there are some eventually upcoming class-specific familiars someday. Yeah. Another Putz says, with all the new content lately, there hasn't really been any new outfits. Will there be any? Sea outfits, perhaps? Yeah, goddammit, Riff.
Sorry.
Plenty of goddamn outfits.
I mean, once the
the idea was presented to me, I could not do it.
No, no, it's good. It's good.
How many outfits?
Two.
There are just two in his part. I don't think Scully did any outfits, and I didn't do any outfits, so... Warbird 108 says, ever thought of implementing a KOL parody zone? After all, it's always good to learn to laugh at yourself. Parodies of parodies never work.
No.
Well, I mean, they might work, but it's not a direction we necessarily want to go.
We don't want to disappear completely up our own asses.
I feel like parodies work when parodies of parodies can work when the original parody has become so mainstream that people don't even think of it as a parody anymore.
Right.
So,
we should not actually take a break, but I'm going to stop the recording and then start a recording again so that this is divided into segments properly for broadcast.
All right.
So, we'll see you guys after the music break.
Woo!
It's been a while since I've seen you smile. Have you
alone in the den, walking
And we're back.
That was some awesome music.
That was.
I made music ruled.
I made 30 snail dollars.
Do the plants in the Zen Garden ever drop gold coins on their own?
Yes,
they do.
They do.
Yeah. Do they ever drop diamonds?
I've never seen one. I don't think they do.
I can't wait for Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Is there going to be a sequel?
I can't
imagine there wouldn't be.
They're probably
given how popular this was.
Kind of expansion pack or something for it. Yeah. Mega Man Rock says, how soon can we expect to change from NS13 to a higher level? I'm going to go with probably never. Nightfall says, with all the distinguishing of classes going on, are accordion thieves going to get anything? All they have going for them in terms of uniqueness is Hobopolis songs, plus 5 buff turns with the right accordion, and access to other guild stores at level 9. None of these things... Lost the rest of it.
Yeah, truncation.
I don't know. There aren't current specific plans for anything, the kind of specific things. So
you had some ideas, but were dissatisfied with how they manifested.
Yeah, they just never.
Some iteration of that will eventually make its way into the game.
Yeah, but it's not going to be something that we can do by working on it. It's going to be something that has to be done by me just suddenly having an idea in the shower one day that actually synthesizes the parts of all of the other attempts that satisfied me. You should read a question while I do a system message.
Okay, so Mr. Crack says, so my character spends all those turns to get to know the sewers like the back of his hand, but once he's through, he can't go back to rescue a caged clanny. What gives? I thought we were going to add an option at Richard to release a clanny for some number of turns.
We talked about it, but I think we didn't do it, and then people eventually shut up about it, so it just kind of never happened.
Doesn't mean they're not dissatisfied still, though.
Well, sure. Let's see, what was I doing? I was doing a system message, and then I didn't do it.
Nightvale asks, are you guys still planning on adding more demon names, or has that taken a backseat to more splendid ideas? I believe demon names is still in our Q1 list. We had a kind of a grand scheme for that when we first came up with the idea, and we haven't really pursued it.
The weird thing is, they're just not that much work.
Right. We're coming up on a segment of development in the next 6 months or so, I'm guessing, that would be very appropriate to have to put more of those in.
Yeah.
And we could tie it narratively into a bunch of stuff we're doing.
Yeah. That thing, I'm thinking... I was thinking that maybe that would be a good September goal.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because the thing is, it's going to be... The longer we let it percolate, the more of it that is done before we release it, the cooler it's going to be.
Sure.
Right? And as much as I always say, God damn it, I hate doing these giant-ass content rollouts,
They go over better.
They do. They go over better, and they end up being more satisfying for us. I mean, I think, honestly, a combination of large projects and, low-impact Tuesday update-style updates is probably the way we're going to do the best work and keep people the happiest in the long run. Because, I think that the Underwater Zone every 2 weeks, if that had been something that was more popular than the underwater stuff, people would have been reasonably excited by that. But... people also get excited about really minor tweaks because, it's just not a new zone. Everybody is potentially going to get excited about a little tweak to something. The people to whom that's relevant are going to get excited about it. And I don't know. it's weird to have all these big projects to work on and then some sort of non-KOL related big projects taking up a lot of time, whether it's con stuff or other secret projects.
Because
what happens then is just we end up going weeks without any updates to KOL, and that's bad news. We shouldn't do that if we can avoid it, right? So
we should just clone ourselves, or we should have cloned ourselves 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So they could work on the other projects.
Right.
And we could work on KOL.
That's true.
Or vice versa. You know, I think I'm pretty impartial as to which one of us would work on the other projects and which one would keep working on KOL.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, you know. I mean, it comes and goes. Like,
would
some
we date different people, though? That's my question. Would you have wanted to clone your significant other, or would you want to have them, like, get two chances at different people?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of weird, because if you looked exactly alike, you could... I mean, and that's the thing. You totally would, right? Like, if it was you, you couldn't really care, right? Although, I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, if identical twins probably get mad when they fuck each other's girlfriends, right? They're like...
I was going to say, what if two identical twins dated two other identical twins? Would that lead to...
hilarity?
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, is it exciting? So, let's say that this is born of a desire to have sex with a woman who is not your girlfriend. Is that indulged at all by having sex with a woman who is identical to your girlfriend in every respect? Because couldn't you just pretend that was happening anyway? You know? I don't know. So if there was the clone of you with a different girlfriend, you'd work out. You'd work it out. If neither of you actually minded the swapping, you'd be like, you know, I'm just going to pretend to be you today. Tell me something only I would know so that I can prove.
Well, so here's, I mean, not spoiler warning, if you haven't seen a movie that I don't want to mention the name of, because I don't want to ruin.
Is it that movie I just watched last night?
Maybe. Did it involve prestidigitation?
It did.
Yeah, I think that's the movie I'm talking about. Because I feel like that was the premise of an interesting movie. And,
I watched Let the Right One In a couple days ago.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
Okay, you did like it. I couldn't tell whether you'd be like,
Did you, because apparently there's
I got the good subtitles.
The good subtitles,
yeah.
Okay.
I did not watch the one on Netflix.
I saw
an article about this that was like on Metafilter where some of the US DVDs had fucking terrible subtitles that just stripped so much nuance out of the conversations.
Really?
that it would have made it into a bad movie having seen it. But the one that I watched it on Netflix on demand, and it was the good subtitles from that article. It was good.
I hope I didn't see the bad subtitle one. I still liked it, but I don't even know. How would you know if you saw one versus the other?
Okay, so when they're initially having a conversation where he says, "Where do you live?" She says, "Here on the jungle gym."
Jim?
Did she say that in yours?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, when the guy fails, when the old man who's taking care of the vampire in the beginning fails, does he say, "Forgive me," or does he say, "Sorry"? You're frozen, which means, I think. Hey, and we're back from that little glitchy fuck-up.
Woohoo!
Shouldn't actually make any difference to the show, except now people listen to us talking about that glitchy fuck-up. Same as last week.
The internet is cool in the way that it lets us screw everything up.
Yep. Gold S says, "When the fuck am I going to be able to use these fish scales? One of these days." Backon says, "If I use quotation marks when writing on the graffiti wall, I end up posting a blank message. Is that intentional?" No. I should fix that. That code is old as shit.
Wasn't the graffiti wall the original way that people could communicate with each other?
Well, no, not really. There was a separate... It was called a graffiti thing. But
I see.
Yeah.
Because the whole... in Submit New Chat or whatever, it's... There's a graffiti thing, and I'm like, that's a weird way of...
I mean, the graffiti code, the graffiti wall code is the sweetest thing in the world, and God bless it, but it's old as fuck!
Yeah.
Severus says, "Just started playing Star Control 2 because of you guys. I just wanted to thank you. It seems really neat so far." Well, good. I hope you continue to enjoy it. I finally beat it.
Oh, again? No, you never beat it when you're...
I'd never beat it before. Yeah, I never...
Wow.
I never actually managed to beat it. So yeah, it was pretty cool. I had seen there was almost nothing new to me.
Really?
So I feel like when I had played it in the past, I had seen almost everything. It's a little disappointing to me that, you know, it is, and I did not have this impression, of the objects that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are, say, 15 different objects that you can get, and like 13 of them are essential to completion of the game. Right? I kind of wish there was a little more optional stuff going on. I mean, I guess there is, in terms of, like, you don't need really all the ship upgrades and stuff. You know?
I was going to say, I feel like the ship is very customizable.
Yeah.
And your fleet is definitely customizable.
Yeah. The only parts of it that I hadn't seen were the, like, thing where you aid the combination of the Chinjesu and the Murnmahern. Also, the reason that I totally pronounce all of these races incorrectly is because when I played it originally, I did not play a version that had voice.
Right.
So, like, I just thought, well, you know what? The way that I determined how to pronounce a lot of them was playing Star Control 1 with the guys at my high school when there was no voice, right? So, it wasn't until the second game years later that they...
What did you do when you played through it in terms of the various options you have in terms of the plot development and stuff?
When I played through it, I just did the like sort of quickest path from this walkthrough.
I see.
I mean, what are the bigger options that you have, right? Like
the Illrath, you can let the Illrath hunt down the
Thradash. Yeah, like I did that. I had them. I went in and like messed with them and made them change all the words around because that's funny.
Okay.
But then later they don't do it later. Like it doesn't stick when you do that. It lasts out some conversations, but if you do that and then send them to fight the Thradash and go talk to them while they're fighting the Thradash, they're no longer using.
I see.
You know that you who instead of you or whatever.
And then there's other options. I think the Illrath, you can have them just self-destruct, basically, as a race or something, or they can... There's a couple of different ways that the Illrath can go, and then I think there's at least one other sort of... Can't you... Is there something you can do with the overall plot that's, like, let one of the Korra or whatever actually get some dominance or something? I forget how that...
I don't know. You know, over the course of playing through it, I never unlocked the display of where the Khazar Zah space was. It was only ever It only ever showed the Korra. So I think it's just, I never encountered a Khazar Zah the entire time that I was playing.
Oh wow, that's weird.
Yeah. It moves you around super efficiently. So it's like the walkthrough had, you know, did everything in the shortest possible, like sort of quasi space jumps and stuff. So like you just avoid a lot of travel through hyperspace if you know exactly where all the portals go.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't feel like there's really that much optional stuff. Like, you don't... Do you have to get the Cyrene?
I don't remember. I don't know.
That was the hardest part, like, dealing with the fucking Mycon. Because those fights were annoying, and you'd get into situations where there were just dozens of them coming after you, and you'd have to just go through dozens of fights. It was really frustrating. Right. Yeah. Mega Man Rock says, will there be any new chef staves anytime soon? Not super soon. Cowlick says, I stopped playing for a couple months. What's the coolest new thing in the game? What's the coolest new thing in the game since in the last couple months? Maybe the seals and the turtles? That's the only new thing in the game in the last couple months. The average clan says, I'm looking forward to the next clan dungeon. Start it yet? Got ideas? Share them. Yeah, it is nigh unto friggin' done. I have a lot of, I have to theme a lot of items and do a lot of artwork, but I think with very few exceptions, it basically is content complete.
There's a bunch of writing that needs to be done.
Yeah. I did a tremendous amount of writing in the hour before we started this recording, so
okay.
That's part of it. Pope Benedict the XVIF, How far behind are you on custom avatar submissions? Not behind at all. There's still, we don't have anything prior to the beginning of this month in the queue. Lazy Adventurer says, hints on Trophy 68. Breckenrouge says, Dick, a while back you threw around the idea of adding more pickpocketable accordions to go with the new Turtles and Seals. Please don't do it. That's why I always liked accordion thieves the most. You never actually steal any accordions. You can only fish them out of the sewer or find them on a dead guy in the forest. I was really sad the day that the Calavera concertina was implemented. Accordion thieves just didn't have the funniness they used to. Well, but by that reasoning, they've already lost it, so we could put some more pickpocketable accordions on. Takoop says, stainless steel slash plexi slash brimstone outfits slash tattoos slash candy. Yeah, yeah. Mr. Ben says there's no such thing as a Brit or Britain. I think your arch nemesis, Mr. Bean, would beg to differ.
Isn't there Great Britain? I mean, isn't that a place?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's when you consider the entire continent that includes England and Scotland and Wales, isn't that Britain?
That's what I thought.
I saw this as him pretending that there was no such thing as England or the English, as opposed to like correcting nomenclature.
Okay.
But I
see. That's what I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell. The internet sucks for nuance.
Man Egg says, speaking of movies, you guys should make a movie based on KOL. It would be epic. It'd be epic fail.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about
a KOL. We should get the guy that did the animation for the documentary to make a full-length animated feature.
That'd be kind of awesome.
We could be the next Pixar.
Yeah.
Show the Bandit says, do you guys have official plans for Q3 and Q4 like you did for Q1 of this year? Well, working on it, right? I'm trying to establish something that we've been talking about as a Q3 plan. We got to get back into that fucking PvP thing at some point too. We did a lot of work on that, and then it got stalled out because you're a big jerk.
I'm a big jerk.
Yeah, you're a big jerk, and you want everything to suck for me. Zona says, if the new familiar is a spleen pooper, you should make that item untradeable, so only people with the familiar can get / use the item. No. No, that would be mean. Fineldar says, if I had a KOL-style stick figure animation of Rick Astley doing the entire dance for all 3 minutes and 33 seconds of Never Gonna Give You Up, would you accept it if I submitted it for my custom avatar? Unless it would depend on the file size. And I have a hard time believing that anybody could actually make that recognizable.
And have it be within custom avatar guidelines.
Yeah. Because that would be the kind of thing where if there was anything wrong with it, not fix it. So, you know, you'd make it, submit it, and then, you know, well, good luck next month cleaning this up. Di Vernon said, my dad's friend was an old-school Steve Wozniak-style tinkerer, and he drank literally 10 liters of Diet Coke a day. He had headaches so bad they thought he had brain cancer.
Wow.
Maybe that's what Obama was experiencing in your dream. Did he say that he had been drinking 10 liters of Diet Coke a day? It's stressful being the president.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of diet. Do they just get to eat whatever they want? Or is it like if the doctor says your cholesterol's too high, do they like... Is there some sort of, like, enforced dietary restrictions going on?
I don't know. I mean, they probably get... The thing is, when you're the president, you probably get all the crazy, magic, expensive drugs that cure everything. Because the president's never sick. I'm like, what the fuck is that all about?
That's not true. I feel like there's lots of times when they're under the weather.
No, they never get colds. No president has ever gotten a cold in the history of the United States.
You might not hear about it, but, I mean, Bush took, like, a million days off, right? He worked fewer days than he took off or something like that. Not quite that bad, but he had a tremendous number of, like...
Yeah, but he was never sick. Being high doesn't count as being sick. What you playing, Riff?
I've forgotten the name of it. It's... Zen something or other. It's this weird sort of complicated Final Fantasy with Zelda combat.
Oh, that's cool. I like Zelda.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat game, and it's got what looks like a big skill tree. And
does it work? Does it work well with the iPhone controls?
It's got this little D-pad in the lower left corner, and it's a little bit mushy, but I'm starting to get used to it.
The mushiness drives me crazy. I wish they would come out with an iPhone attachment that gave you a real D-pad and some buttons
and 4 buttons,
and then just standardize it so that game developers could just use it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
they're really missing out on a lot of.
Let me see. Let me save this and tell you what it is.
You know, maybe somebody will do it.
They exist, but I don't think they're widespread enough for people.
It is called Xenonia.
Xenonia.
Yeah.
Huh.
Probably pay attention to the show.
Sweet Pepper says, is there any chance of the bang potions going straight to the potion section when you open the boxes? It's so frustrating to end up with half there and half in the recently acquired items. That is all. The whole recently acquired items thing is going to go away when we get around to doing the finalized inventory revamp. That's something that I will probably have CD Moyer start focusing on after this item of the month is done. Right now he's busy. This is great. Yeah. I haven't had to do a damn thing except for my third, which I guess was that counted as having to do a damn thing. Never mind. I had to do a bunch of damn things. But it's kind of nice now. It took a while for me to get okay with this, and it was having the dwarf puzzle get done that made me okay with it. But like, CD Moyer can now do a lot of the stuff that historically has fallen to me to do, and that rules.
I did kind of sense like great glee from you when you were able to just say, "Hey, CDM, you get to implement all of Rift's stuff."
Yeah, I definitely had a smile on my face when I... let's see. Starwed says, there was a Piers Anthony novel in which described a virtual reality rape game in quite a bit of detail. Wasn't there a lot of weird sex stuff in Piers Anthony's books?
I never read any of them.
I read them when I was so young that I don't remember.
You don't remember getting a boner?
I definitely did not get a boner, but I mean, it's possible that I just didn't get some of it.
It's possible that you didn't.
I read Planet of the Cave Bear when I was really, really young, and that was pretty serious.
You could have a little conversation about Jenny about that. That's one of her favorite books from back in the day.
Yeah.
Because it gave her so many boners.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of rape in Clan of the Cave Bear?
I don't remember.
I've never read
My it. Dad read it and said it wasn't very good. So I never wanted to read it.
I feel like if you're into that style of book, it's fine.
If you're into books about cavemen raping each other.
Yeah. It is weird how many people read romance novels. It's like the largest genre of fiction, right? Or of writing, I think.
Huh.
There are more romance novels written than anything else. And, you know, not to totally stereotype, but, you know, primarily women buying and reading these things, and they just do it voraciously. Like, the women who do it will read one of them a week, you know, so they'll do like, or one of them every 2 days or something, so, you know, like, we're talking 50 to several hundred in a year,
right?
And then they'll reread them, like, they'll like find the ones that are particularly, you know, tickle their whatever brain centers, and reread them over and over again. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think I've ever read a single romance novel. Maybe if I read one, it would give me a boner. Yeah, I should read Twilight. I'm half tempted to read Let the Right One In, but then I kind of don't really care to. The book...
you could read Lolita. That's like a romance novel.
Yeah.
Have you read Lolita?
I haven't read Lolita. I'm afraid if I read Lolita and got a boner that I would get sent to jail.
Lolita is incredible. It is one of the best books I've ever read. You really should read Lolita.
I feel like
Nabokov's amazing.
I feel like buying a copy of Lolita probably puts you on some kind of list.
worth it, man.
Man,
it's
it was it. Messed up. That guy who was like in trouble for child, like who got brought up on child pornography charges because of the manga that he had.
Oh yeah,
like he pled guilty.
Like drawings?
Yes, he pled guilty.
Yeah, it was imported manga. Yeah.
Like seriously?
Yeah. What it seemed to boil down to, at least in terms of like this not being like super fucked up and scary, is that because it was a plea bargain, it doesn't set any kind of legal precedent.
But like why would he do that instead of going to court? Like
he did go to court.
Well, no, I mean, a plea bargain you could do on the first day, man.
But he did, but
instead of going through a trial.
Well, I don't know. Okay, maybe it didn't go to trial. I don't know. I mean, the theory is that they must have just threatened him with something so severe that it was worth him going to jail for 5 years or 10 years or whatever. You know?
I mean, I don't know any details of this at all, but it seems kind of weird that you'd be arrested for having any kind of artwork, right?
But you can. Even a drawn depiction of children engaged in sex acts can get you charged with child pornography. The laws about child pornography are just fucking crazy. You know, you as a 15-year-old girl, you can get charged with possession of child pornography for having a naked picture of yourself, which, like, it's one of these things where, like, you know, oh, somebody think of the children. Like, it's really easy to rally a community against child pornography, and so now we have all of these laws that don't make any sense at all and are just crazy. Like, that's the thing. Like,
I can understand wanting to protect children against exploitation, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the creation or dissemination of actual photographs of naked children should probably be controlled in some way or whatever. But drawings?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what is that all about?
The argument in the thread is like, all right, so let's say I draw two stick figures fucking. Is that against the law? No. Well, then I draw an arrow from the words 30-year-old man to one and an arrow from the words 12-year-old right. girl to the other. Then I'm a criminal. It's possession of child pornography, right? Like, somewhere you gotta break that down. It's just, I don't know, it's alarming to me. Like, if that guy goes to jail for that, like, that's seriously fucked up.
Plus, apparently, I mean, it wasn't that you know, child porn manga wasn't his thing. He was just a massive collector of manga. He, like, collected everything.
Sure.
And this was just, like, a small... He just happened to have a couple of books.
How did he get, charged? Like, how did it come up?
I don't know.
I don't remember either.
Maybe it was a mail order shipment, I guess.
Yes, I feel like it was, like, something in the mail got intercepted by law enforcement. Yeah.
I mean, maybe there are very specific laws about... Wow, I just don't get it.
I don't think it makes any sense to apply, like, the whole... I'm not saying that there is not, like, you know... So the whole manga thing is just weird because it's, like, a lot of why that stuff tends toward the depiction of young people is because it's against the law to depict pubic hair, right? Doesn't have anything to do with them being young. It ended up kind of fetishizing that because of these weird restrictive laws in Japan. And to,
yeah, that's how tentacle porn happened.
Yeah.
Because they can't draw penises.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's a mess.
I guess it's when two equally fucked up legal systems collide that people get hurt.
Yeah. I still, you know, I mean, it's frustrating to me, just the whole, like, because I feel like there's a new story about this every week where it's like some high school girl sends her boyfriend a picture from her cell phone of her in her underwear, and then everybody gets arrested for child pornography. Like,
right.
you know, we really need to start paying attention to dangerous crimes instead of chicken shit nonsense.
I'm coming back to my argument, like, if I can plant drugs on, like, a senator's car and have them go to jail for that, like, we should be able to email everyone in government some child porn and then arrest them all, right? That should work. So we can just clear out government and start afresh.
Right, start a new government.
Well, yeah. It'd be the coup by email.
Right. First rule, in order to occupy any position of authority, you got to be a pedophile. Second rule, the government gets everybody's firstborn child as a sex slave. This is going to be great.
This is going to be a real popular government.
Fine, yeah. Let's see. Kevin B.
That would be an interesting way to stem the tide of overpopulation. Is you can have as many kids as you want, but the government gets every second one.
Although we don't really have an overpopulation problem in the U.S.
Yeah.
Are there more illegal immigrants coming into the country than there are people being born?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that if the population of the United States is increasing, it's due to immigration and not due to births overtaking deaths. I feel like in terms of actual reproduction, most of civilized countries are stagnant to declining. And it is primarily the population growth. Well, okay, I say that. Like, China's population, I think, is only stabilized because it's extremely well controlled. India's population is still ballooning. India and Africa, I think, are pretty significant sources of expanding world population.
Yeah. Iluro Dragon writes, would it be possible for KOL to set the size of the description window for items and effects when the window is created rather than opening the window and resizing it? Alternatively, do y'all know of a browser that only allows specific sites to move or resize windows with JavaScript? Well, you can't. This is one thing that I would change if I had it to do over again with KOL. I would probably have established a fixed size for pop-ups and just not ever let item descriptions get any longer than that. Right, and just leave white space in if the description is too small, because it's frustrating. There really isn't, to answer your question, a way to have it sized it ahead of time. You cannot figure out how tall content is going to be when it's rendered
until
it has been rendered. So, you know,
I've turned off the pop-up ability on browsers for so long now that it's hard for me to think about it anymore, because I just have it pop up in a new tab behind whatever I'm looking at.
See, I don't do that for KOL item pop-ups. I told the browser to allow
pop-ups in KOL.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah,
would you not do if you had to do it all over again? Would you not do something that was just like an
tooltip, an Ajax pop-up in the thing? Yeah, that would honestly probably be better. Like, rewriting KOL from the ground up with, like, today's technology and somebody other than me doing the actual coding, you know?
I wonder if we made the game much more slick, like, you know, like a Forum Wars level of slick look to it, but then sort of kept all the art assets, would that be weirdly incongruous?
I don't know.
Or, do you know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah, no, I do. I honestly don't know. I don't, I think we would alienate a lot of our existing players, which is probably a bad move.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Right, like, I mean, I'm not saying, alienating a large percentage of our users is obviously a bad move, I'm saying.
Right.
So. There is a chance.
At this point, I feel like so many people have played the game and gone away and are just not coming back, that it's like trying to recapture them by improving the interface or whatever is not a viable strategy.
Yeah. I've been thinking more and more about the iPhone version, and I wonder if we could just write a scaled down enough interface that would basically make it so if you were playing KOL on the iPhone, it would basically be back to the like 15-minute coffee break game that it started as, right? If you just limited the stuff that could happen to you when you were playing in that interface. What's weird, though, is that you say, if you're interested in more, come play it on the actual website, and then what happens if you get something that unlocks some feature that doesn't exist in the iPhone version of the game, right? I think actually making it so you could play KOL on the iPhone, too ambitious. There's not really any way to do it right, apart from letting it run in a browser.
I don't understand why you're opposed to the notion of just having, like, a small menu on the bottom that is...
Because the reason that I am opposed to it is because I don't think you're really thinking about it. I don't think that if you were to actually sit down and try and do what it is that you're thinking about, it would be 10 minutes before you encountered a problem that was unsolvable. Like, it just wouldn't work. It would not work.
What I'm saying is you have a list on the bottom, which is each of the frames that's KOL's frame set, right? And then, so there's the character frame, the menu frame, the main frame, and the chat frame, right? And then...
Like tabs?
Like little tabs, like a lot of like browser-style games that are basically just web pages, but like iPhone front ends or whatever. And then... each one is just—it's just kind of like a browser window, and we make small adjustments. You know, the menu one we could just write a mobile version of because that's very easy. The character one is just the character one, and you want to see it, you just scroll down, and the chat one we maybe make a little bit better. But the main one is just the main pane, and it looks—it's exactly the same as if you were looking at it in Safari, but instead of having the whole game screen in there, it's just that. I mean, you still have to, to pinch and zoom to open stuff up and whatever, but we wouldn't ever have to worry about compatibility issues or whatever. And it's not, I'm not saying it's like super pretty, and it's not, it's definitely not like making full use of what the iPhone could do or whatever, but it can also be done in a couple of days.
So then part of the problem, part of the problem is that you never really actually explained it to me like that before.
Well, I tried to. I said each button would be it's a separate frame of the game, and then we're basically done. And then you were like, no, that's terrible. And I'm like, but done.
Yeah. I don't know. If we did that and then release it in the App Store, that'd be pretty cool.
So we could just give that away. I think it would probably be a couple of days. I don't know how much framework isn't needed to actually do something.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we would need some sort of interface for people creating accounts via the iPhone, which I don't think you could do. So there'd have to be some.
Oh, to start up. Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely some front and back end stuff that we'd probably want to handle.
Yeah,
a little more carefully or whatever. But sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's what we should do. I always want to scale everything back. I just want everything to be simple because that's when everything was fun and easy.
We'll just have a big red button.
And a number that's how many times you've pushed the button. Yeah.
God.
I think
the how many times can you push the button game is a hard market to break into, considering how many of them already exist.
But, I mean, wasn't there that cowbell one? Or had to ring their phone like a cowbell? And there were leaderboards. And then there were, like, regional leaderboards you could, like... I'm the best one in my city, or I'm the best one in my state, or I'm the best one in this, this 1/6 of the United States, or whatever.
I'm the best one in the 100 square yards.
Exactly.
I'm thinking that I don't get to play that Hidden Park game. Damn it.
Oh.
So it just is not available in the U.S. iPhone store?
Yeah, it has not yet shown up. Well, I'll tell you what. Field Trip, whenever it comes out.
Well, because it said there was also stuff in Boston and...
No, those cities suck. When that game comes out, the three of us are coming here for like a week.
Just to go to Central Park?
Yeah, well, no, and to also go to all of my favorite haunts.
I see.
Hey, did you buy any of that Earthel Hoppet? Or did you just see that they had it?
I have a bottle of it right here.
Oh, yeah? Did you like it?
No, I have a bottle of it. I haven't opened it yet.
Oh. Oh, they sell it in, like, bombers.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I figured we would split it when you got here.
Huh. That was nice of you, except you're not going to be there when I get home.
I'm not going to the Grand Canyon.
Oh. Well, great.
So I will be here when you get home.
You want to come get me at the airport?
Yes.
Awesome. We should have more personal conversations on the radio, because people love this shit. Hey, your hair looks pretty good.
Thanks. I was just showing you something on the radio. That's some good radio.
I know. I didn't realize. I was assuming it just came in a six pack. Whatever. Apparently, it is really high alcohol content, which kind of explains a couple of nights that I was a little confused by. It was like 9.5% alcohol or something.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bottled. No, I didn't. I didn't. I filtered. I did the first filtration and mixing with simple syrup of the most recent batch of limoncello. And this is the one that vodka sat with the lemon zest for almost 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
And I had some like fresh out of the thing, so it hadn't really had a chance to mellow or whatever, but it was really good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we might want to let it sit for a long time. I'm gonna let it mellow with the sugar until after we get back from Comic-Con, so for another basically 2 months.
Okay.
And then we'll try it and see what it's like.
All right. We need something else to make. You know what we should do? We should grow our own weed. And we should document the process, and we could send letters out to local newspapers and stuff asking if, you know, they're interested in doing an article about our ingenuity and entrepreneurial spirit.
I was thinking we could also make our own methamphetamines.
Good plan. Because there's that bathtub in the main office bathroom that never gets used for anything.
True. Yeah, true. We know a lot of chemists. We could hire someone to make us up a big batch of LSD.
Oh yeah,
it's true. We could get like, yeah, man, that'd be great. You know, it'd be great if we could hire Alan Alda to make us a big batch of LSD, like he did in that movie.
Yeah,
which movie?
Flirting with Disaster.
Oh, I don't know that I've seen that.
RDFM says, hey guys, love the show. If you ever name the gift shop guy, and please don't, you could call him Gressaconi Rebodanes. Extra credit if you know where that comes from. Riff might know.
That does not ring a bell.
Okay.
Yeah, it does not sound familiar to me at all.
Fook123 says, hey guys, I was wondering if we could get an option to move anything we can't currently equip to the bottom of that inventory section, or maybe a hide option with a button to show. I'd just like to say that I really dig things that differentiate between classes. Only thing is, can you stop implementing cool class-specific abilities right after I finish a run with one? I don't know why Fook123 sounds like that, but he does. Wow. You know, I do kind of like the idea of an inventory view that only shows you stuff that you can use. That, I have an idea. I have, a better idea for a way to approach the sort of overall structure for the PvP revamp that I want to talk to you about at some point when we don't have literally 10 million other things that are more and more urgent than that. Gorblack says, I know it's improper grammar, but for the sake of better preserving the original joke, can you change references to Zombo's comb to Zombo comb? No, it's fine. The joke still works. Also, twitter.com/zombocom is a Twitter stream of the output of Zombo.
Awesome.
Wow.
How often does
people
it broadcast?
So brilliant.
It looks like every 2 hours it says something new. Yeah. You know, I think that's enough.
That's enough radio.
Well,
for the day.
I don't know. That this is probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So, yeah, we should keep going. If few more questions. Watertail says, hey Jake, if you're thinking about playing Team Fortress 2, you should definitely try it out. You just missed one of Valve's free weekends, though. Also, if you can find a good server, you don't get raped too badly. Nah. It's probably not worth it. I would rather just read about
Team
Fortress 2 than play it.
Yeah, I would like to find some movies of some people who are really good at Team Fortress 2 playing and watch that. I don't know. It looks neat. I really love the Meet the Character Class movies that they put out periodically.
Mm.
But
I like the griefing videos.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
Getting the door stuck and making people answer trivia questions before you let them out.
Yeah.
So great.
I just ordered that Infamous game for the PS3, because that looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I haven't seen commercials for it since after I bought it. Hearing them talk about it on one of the podcasts that I listened to made me kind of interested in it. So,
is that a PS3 one? What sort of game is it?
It's like a sandbox kind of superhero game, sort of. Like, the plot of it is that you're this like bike messenger, and you get paid to deliver a package to this building, and the package turns out to be some kind of crazy bomb that just like destroys a 2-block radius around you, but you survive, but gain the ability to like control electricity.
Hmm.
So is it
like a third person?
Yeah, it's like a run and run, like a GTA kind of thing. You run around the city and you can like absorb electricity from things and manifest various powers with that electricity that you've absorbed. And it's like it's on this whole like morality spectrum where you become like more and more good or more and more evil, and different powers kind of unlock automatically as you become gooder and or worser. Which I gotta imagine that is gonna be a little bit frustrating, because it's like you sort of always have to be good if you want to keep the good guy powers. Like you sort of have to heal everyone that you walk past or whatever. But there were some depictions, like they sort of specifically modeled every building in the city to make it interesting to like climb and jump around on it, which that's cool, right?
Yeah.
They just talked about like moving around the city is a lot of fun and obviously very well considered. Let's talk about like, you know, you gain the ability to like sort of grind on power lines, building up more and more momentum from the electricity that you're absorbing from them, and then just like flying off the end of them, and then, you know, slamming down, doing crazy electricity explosions that kill 500 dudes. Using electricity there's guys coming at you with dynamite, and you can use your electricity to push them back into their buddies and then make their dynamite go off. I don't know. Sounds fun. Sounds like you get to blow up a lot of shit with a lot of electricity.
Sounds cool.
But since it's a console game, I'll probably play it for like an hour and then put it away and never come back to it again. So that's what happens. Cool Smack suggests basically an item. All right. For those of us who enjoy assisting our clans and therefore end up becoming relatively high level, can you create a weapon that does a set amount of damage, just enough to kill a hobo without overkilling it? Something with a ridiculously high strength stat needed, like 350 or 400, perhaps something that's totally useless elsewhere. Because once relatively powerful, it gets to be a pain in the ass to use potions to keep your stats down. And then you suggest maybe selling it for a lot of hobo nickels. You know, we kind of specifically wanted people to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, something that would be kind of interesting, I guess, is a collection of gear that either dropped or that you could buy that just had big negative percent strength enchantments on it.
The option of getting a full set of brimstone gear to have a lot more control over your stats is not necessarily a friendly one.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you could also...
Plus, that doesn't help someone who's spent a lot of time getting up to high level.
Sure. I mean, I feel like you could gear yourself up to the point where you were attacking with spells or something that just didn't do enough damage to overkill. Right? I mean, having a thing where you can just do the exact amount of damage that you want, and it's free, is just like, you know, sure, I can see why you want it and it would be nice, but I don't think it's necessary. Let's see. Gleeb says, why doesn't the Chowder Golem drop oyster crackers or anything? Yeah, one of the Q1 threads we've got is to put drops on some of the dropless monsters. But, you know, I look at that and then I think, it would really end up just being a lot of filler.
Filler's okay, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm okay with filler. Filler is fun.
I guess so. I mean, that could be a thing where every couple of weeks we add a couple drops to a couple monsters that don't have drops, and then that way there's a steady stream of little updates. We always have to fight our tendency to make new items too interesting, though.
We do tend to do that a lot.
Like, the pickpocket-only items, we just went nuts, right? Like, there was not a single just regular fucking item in that entire batch. And it's, you know, it's interesting. We introduced some new mechanics. They're cool and whatever, but, yeah. It gets harder and harder to do our jobs every year because we're always topping ourselves, or trying to top ourselves. We should jump a shark. we should just resign ourselves to just making a bunch of stuff that sucks ass. It'd be so much easier. So much less prone to disappointment. We should resign ourselves to not being on the radio anymore.
You think?
Yeah. I guess I'll talk to y'all kids on Monday, and I will see the two of you on Sunday or Monday.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye.
A child without an eye made a mother cry. Why ask why? She kept a child clean on Buckingham Green. The children saw the eye as a sign from God descending from the sky. It was all right to dream of Buckingham Green. Queen.